Off the ball. Rugby.
Why has the line-out improved so much?
Codders. Just one word. Alex Codling. he's an asset for us. So.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland. A proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Yeah, welcome back to Off the Ball Sunday here on Newstalk. It's Shane Hannan with you through until 7 p.m. and Ireland have beaten Italy 54 points to 12 in the Guinness Women's Six Nations. Just to mention the quick scoreline, 41 minutes on the clock at the Allianz National Football League Division 1 final. Kerry 110, Mayo 8 points. Shane, the early stage of the second half, as we see Paul Towey come in for Frank Irwin on the Mayo side, but still just that 5-point cushion for Kerry and they're holding firm at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's likely to go to 6 here now with a free for David Clifford. But Mayo had started all right. We got to see Ryan O'Donoghue, one of those 1v1s that we spoke about that he probably hadn't, and he showed how electric he was. Kind of went to, looked like he'd half gone past Paul Murphy on one side and cut back to the other, and there was nearly a sniff of a goal for a second, and that was kind of the start they wanted. Got a little bit unlucky. They put a bit of pressure high up the field and a couple of kind of borderline frees went against them when turnovers were on. Kerry have just pushed on from then again, and they've got a couple of scores. They've won another kick out here, and they just looked at, they're in on goal.
It's a lovely pass then, Micheál Burns.
Oh, great stop.
It was a stop by Reap, wasn't it?
Great stop by Reap, yeah. And it just shows how dangerous it is with a kick out. Like, you win a kick out like that, you've gone running to try and get free. Joe Connor got up really well and won it, and Mayo are all out of position. Kerry moved the ball really quick. Micheál Burns snuck in from the blind side, completely unmarked. On his own, and he really should have finished. And kind of feel this is a big enough game for Micheál Burns. You know, pretty well documented last year how him and Jack O'Connor maybe didn't get on the best, whatever. And he had a huge club campaign for Dr. Crokes, and rightly come back in. But you feel big days like this, he needs to kind of show that step up then from the club football in county. So that was a big chance for him to make a claim there.
Yeah, and the resulting 45 has been swung over the bar by Paddy Clifford once again.
Yeah. It's
Kerry 112, Mayo 8 points now, and this game is slowly slipping away from Mayo. A 7-point lead, but as we know in the new rules, not necessarily game over, far from it. Could be some 2-pointers in this Mayo team. They might start going for them now, potentially. So it is, and look at the kick pass.
Oh my God.
Kerry
yeah.
25, Mayo 5, and the kick passes. This kick passing game is working. A dream for Kerry so far as Kerry blocked down a Mayo attempt on goal. We'll get back to Shane McAtee for updates and Tommy Rooney as well at Croke Park. But as we mentioned already, it has been a very, very positive afternoon for the Irish women's rugby team. They have beaten Italy by 54 points to 12 in the Women's Six Nations. A 42-point win in that game in Parma. Delighted to have on the line the former Irish international Jackie Shields. Good afternoon. Good evening, Jackie.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Happy Mother's Day as well to you.
Thank you, very much. Yeah, it's a great day all around for Irish rugby.
Yeah, I tell you what, a lot of positives to come from that performance, Jackie, because coming into this game, I guess the narrative was Italians in Parma, it's going to be tough. Last couple of years, we haven't had much joy against them. But I guess if you're going to show development, it's a game you want to be winning, and really dominant performance.
Yeah, look, obviously Italy have beaten Ireland in the last two outings in the Six Nations. So even though we know that this Irish team has got better, we know that this Irish team has great potential away from home in Italy, in Parma, where things haven't always gone to plan, it was great to get the win. And not just a win, it was like, I think that's the biggest win we've ever had against Italy, especially in Six Nations. So it's a wonderful performance, especially on the back of last weekend where I think the camp will be disappointed that they didn't get a result against France. You know, you look at the stats from the game. I was at the game and you look at how much possession they had, how much territory they had, and how close they were to getting a result against France. So to bounce back, and not only bounce back with a win, but with a record-breaking win is brilliant. And just on that, I'm delighted for Dana, you know, putting those, I think, 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 conversions, which is wonderful after last weekend.
Yeah, because she was questioned a little bit. And like I even put it to Ronan O'Gara on Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, it was, and he kind of said, you know, as Scott Beaman said during the week, she's young, she's 21 years of age, put it behind you, take a deep breath, talk positively to yourself. And clearly she was doing that today.
Yeah, I watched your interview with Ronan O'Gara. Look, you know, if you land them, you're the best kicker in the world. And when you miss them, you're the problem, the reason they lost. So, yeah, look, last week, we would have loved her to get a couple of those kicks over to make it even tighter, but she didn't. And, you know, she cleared her mind. She focused this week. And to get 7 out of 8 in that game today would only benefit her going forward into the competition.
So like the pressure was maybe a little bit on this game, Jackie, in the build up, because you look at that French game last week, when it gets back to 17-15, you think, geez, Ireland could really push on and win this. And as Scott Beaman said afterwards, maybe 6 months down the line, an Ireland side could go on and win that game against a team like the French. Ultimately, the French come up 27-15, add a little bit of pressure. But I mean, from the very off today, and there were, look, some errors in that first half performance from Ireland. But, you know, when they go 28-5 in front by half time, you're thinking this is a dream start. They didn't show any really signs of pressure.
No, and I really liked what Scott Beaman said last week. You know, he's not happy being like greatest losers. I think those days are gone in Irish rugby where, you know, we all know that England and France are the top two teams in Six Nations, but we can't be happy just to get a close loss against them. And I think he said that after the game, you know, they are the games you want to win. And yes, looking forward to the World Cup, we have to be, we were within 2 points of France, and then to lose by what I think was 12 in the end, it was just disappointing. But they have a quick turnaround. It's a week. They obviously got their mindset sorted, a couple of changes of personnel, and then we came out. And today, as you said, a really quick start and a really strong positive end as well. Like the bench came on and made a difference. And even when they went down to 14 players, they still stuck to their game plan. Brittany Hogan came on, a wonderful try there at the end. Anna McGann getting her hat trick. And then you have Aoife Dalton in the middle, you know, getting a man the match performance. So they're all positives. Good start, good end. There's going to be errors, but it's how you deal with the errors. And obviously they dealt really well with them today.
There's a lovely piece, Jackie, in the Sunday Independent today. David Kelly has a piece on Anna McGann and talking about her her life on and off the pitch, a story of love and loss, pain and glory, and talks about her dad passing away, Mick McGann, on August 22nd, 2023, almost 4 years after doctors reckoned the liver cancer. He had 6 months to live, originally a dub himself. And like she's dealt with a lot off the pitch, Anna McGann, but I mean, what a performance today, and a hat-trick for her, just supreme talent.
Yeah, you know, like I don't know how these young players deal with all this stuff. You know, you have Brittany Hogan there as well, her father passed away, and I'm sure it's very emotional for them. I know when I played for Ireland years ago, I was always looking in the crowd for my mom and dad. So I'm sure for these young women, with all the expectations and pressure on them, you know, and adding to that then not having family members around who probably nurtured them and guided them as they were children. So look, I'm sure her family that are present there today are very proud of her, and I'm sure everything she did say, you know, she did it in memory of him as well. So look, I can't comment on that because I fortunately have my parents with me, but you can only think about what pressure puts on you and what expectation, and I'm sure she's looking up in the crowd to see her parents that brought her to matches when she was a child, and she's doing it for them. Just like Brittany Hogan there, after she scored the try, you can see her, you know, looking to the skies and thinking of her dad there.
Yeah, absolutely. What a emotional afternoon for her, and undoubtedly thinking of her father as well. I just want to break away very, very slightly. There's been a goal, Shane McEntee in Croke Park, 47 minutes on the watch, and Kerry had pulled away a little bit there, but they've got it back now to 5 points Mayo with a goal.
Yeah, Owen McLaughlin with a great goal and badly needed. Real vintage him, just that pace getting along the outside, and a really really strong left-footed finish across the keeper's body. He struck me earlier on the first time I saw him. He looks like a fella who's really, really bulked up, got himself in really good shape. I know he's had a lot of injury troubles the last number of years, and he's always been a really fit, strong runner. But he went around a couple of tackles on the outside there and just looked really powerful. And from the kick out, Mayo took a mark and got tackled within the first 4 metres, brought forward. Ronnie Lunn went for two, and all of a sudden it's a 3-point game now. So what looked like it was out of sight has gone back pretty competitive all of a sudden.
Yeah. Kerry 130. I got a piece of popcorn stuck in my throat there, Shane, and it's get the popcorn out time for the end of this game, because 48 minutes on the watch and it's Kerry 113, Mayo 110. And as Shane McEntee says there, it's going to be a tight enough finish after Kerry pulling away a little bit in that game. We have Jackie Shields, former Irish international rugby star, on the line as well after Ireland beat Italy 54-12 in the Guinness Women's Six Nations today in Parma. Some ball handling errors last week, Jackie, and in fairness, a lot of the errors that Scott Beaman pointed out during the week were kind of tidied up today, so that's a real positive.
Yeah, I'm a math teacher, I talk about it all the time, and this week in one of my lessons we looked at the stats of the Irish and France game, you know, and I said to the students who hadn't watched the game, I said, based on the stats, who should have won that game? And they were like, all Ireland. But you could see the one that was standing out was the handling error. I think Ireland had 32 handling errors last week against France. Now, obviously, today there was less handling errors, but you would liken that to the fact that the Italian press mightn't have been as tough as the French defence. But still, like, you can only play what you're put up against. So to make limited errors today, and a lot of the tries scored out wide would show that they were getting the ball to the edge, that the handling errors had diminished, and that they were getting the ball to the phases. So that's all positives going ahead into the next match, which would obviously be the England team in Cork.
It's nice to have the extra week's break, isn't it, heading into that game too, Jackie, because it gives you just a chance to reset, to recover the tired and sore bodies, and just go at it again, almost treat them like mini tournaments within a tournament.
Yeah, so obviously the two games and the break and then the three games back to back is a big one, but you never really want to get England, but getting England at the start of that 3 week games is probably the best time to get them. As you said, we have 2 weeks now to build. Watching England, like, England were very good yesterday against a Wales side that are improving but still would be expected to get wooden spoon. But Ireland had to take heart from the fact that England didn't score against Italy in the second half last week. So, you know, England went out in the first half against Italy, put a big score up, and then Italy held them scoreless for the second half. So the only thing about England is we don't know what side they're going to put out. They literally made 13 changes to their starting team yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see who they put up against Ireland in 2 weeks' time. But Ireland can't really worry about that. They've got to focus on themselves. And as you said, if they can keep the handling errors to a minimum, and as you said, work on the things that they're strong on, and Dana's kicking game is good, I think we have to go into that Ireland-England game fairly, you know, confident again. That we can get a good result. And it's really important we get a good fan base down to Cork. There was 21,000 yesterday in the Principal Stadium there to watch Wales play England. I know Ireland had a really good support in Kingspan, but I think, you know, if we get the numbers behind those girls, it'll really help on the day.
The heat as well, like, when you're looking at the heat in Parma, it's no small factor. So, like, for players to be able to deal with that, and it's probably good to get that experience under their belt as well, because, you know, going at it for 80 minutes, you do rely on the squad. And very much the squad, you know, showed itself there today as being fairly deep.
Yeah, look, they're going for a 6-2 split. As a back myself, I'd be very disappointed. But you can understand, like, he's got absolute, you know, ball-playing forwards there who really are physical. And after 50, to be able to take off Aoife Wafer there with 55, 60 minutes gone just shows the depth that they have. And you bring on Brittany Hogan and things don't really change. So the back row is very competitive there. You look at the second row as well. So in the way that Ireland are playing with the forwards being big ball carriers, big presence on the pitch, I can understand why he's going for a 6-2 split. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Bavin Parsons come back into the mix. You know, will he go back to the traditional 5-3 or will Bavin come in and somebody get dropped? But you look at the squad there today, like, who in the back line do you drop to bring Bavin in? So I'm hopeful as a back he'll go for the 5-3, but, you know, that'll be his decision.
the bias, of course, it never
100%
leaves.
100%
bias, 100%. No, I love it, in fairness, I live for it. Like, Dorothy Wall and Brittany Hogan probably deserve a particular mention off the bench today, maybe.
Yeah, look, chatting to a few people during the week, we were surprised to see Dora go from starting to on the bench. You know, she's a big presence. She's played very well for Exeter Chiefs this year. I thought she did very well in the line-out against France. So that just shows the, like, these are things that we're not used to in Ireland. We're seeing rotation. We're seeing, and not just rotation for the sake of it, because there is depth in the squad. And in a World Cup year, you know, as an outsider, it's brilliant to see that. It's brilliant to see that players are getting genuine game time, not just being brought on for token 5 minutes at the end of a game. But like that, I love seeing players that get, you know, dropped to the bench, coming on and proving a point. And Dora did that today. She came on, obviously wants to prove that she's, you know, good enough to start the next game and trying to prove that point, which I think she did towards the end of the game.
And Aoife Dalton in the centre, again, just a supreme performance as well from her.
Yeah, look, I'm actually sitting here now at Rugby Club watching it, and she'll hate me saying it, but I actually watched it with Sam Monaghan there, and we were just talking about her. Like, she's just, her centre of gravity, her awareness, her ball playing, she reminds us of Elaine Cantwell from, you know, back in the day. But she's a really, really smart rugby player. I just think she's all the attributes of an excellent centre, and from what I hear, like, she's a great squad player. So yeah, I'm delighted she got player of the match today, and I just think her all-round game is really good, and she's so young too. Like, it's only going to go in the right direction as well.
And, like, when you look at the England performance against Italy, so what was it, a 33-point win for them, 42-point win for Ireland over Italy in Parma, whereas the England game was in New York. I'm not going to read too much into, obviously, each game is different. You take the old quote, you take each game on its merits, Jackie, but that probably gives the Irish team some sort of, not expectation, but a bit of hope going into the England game too.
Yeah, like, I said, that's what we said, but the thing about England is that we don't know who they'll put out. Like, yeah, they genuinely started a, you know, they could go out against Italy and they had no Ellie Kildon, no Abby Dow, no Jess Breach. You know, Ellie Kildon, World Player of the Year, and she's not even on the 22 squad for the game. And then suddenly they play Wales yesterday and it's a whole different backline, you know. So it's just, I suppose what he's doing over there is he's really developing his squad for a World Cup, a home World Cup, where all the expectation is on them to win that. So he's really deepening his squad and developing his players. And I suppose what Ireland need to focus on is that they're looking at gelling what they have and continuity and consistency. And you would hope that those three matches on the bounce, I can't see Scott Beaman making too many changes. You know, apart from maybe Bavin coming in somewhere, I don't see massive changes happening. And you'd hope that those three games consecutively will make Ireland gel and make strong. Whereas, you know, as much as it's impressive that England can chop and change, you wonder how that will impact the team, because the team that played against Italy definitely stuttered in the second half. And then yesterday, obviously, the first 20 minutes against Wales, like, I was like, Sheeny Mac, this Welsh team are on top. But obviously Wales ran out of steam after about 10 to 20 minutes, which is not ideal. But you could see that there's exploits there in England. Like, they weren't the secure team that we're used to seeing. So there's definitely things that Scott Beaman will be doing is his analysis. He'll be watching where we can get them. And I know, having worked in England for such a long period of time, he'll know exactly where to kind of pinpoint the errors. But it's, again, we just don't know what England will put out in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's a fair point, in fairness. Stacey Flood, like, the Italians kind of seem to target her with box kicks a little bit, but she was brilliant in fullback, and it was probably, as some people have said online, ill-advised for the Italians to target her with the box kicks.
Yeah, and I thought very brave as well. Like, there was a couple there, they went up in the air and it was big clashes up in the air. But look, the beauty of Irish rugby players are 90% of us are ex-GAA players, so happy days for a kick ball. You know, and then you flip that on the other side, we got a lot of, you know, positive play from the fullback from Italy knocking it on. So I thought she was very secure under the high ball, and as I said, very, very brave. And that's what you need. You need players willing to go up for the ball and then reacting off it.
Linda Njungang as well. We've had her on the show. John Duggan did a brilliant interview with her in recent weeks as well, and look, rock solid at scrum. Was yellow carded for that high tackle, but gets her own try as well.
Yeah, you know, I played briefly with Linda when I was at Old Belvedere. Like, she's just brute force, isn't she? She you give her a ball and she's going to make a gain there. So obviously she'd be disappointed with the high tackle, but I thought Ireland dealt very well when they're down to 14 players. And that's something they have to, I suppose, make sure they're able to do. So she'll be disappointed with that tackle, but as you said, she kind of redeemed herself coming back then and adding the try. But she's just so physical. She's so aggressive. She wants to carry ball. You know, so again, getting her on the pitch, and she's great stamina for a prop to be able to play the 70, 80 minute games.
Yeah, 100%. So looking forward, Jackie, before we let you go, so many positives to take, like even some of those players that I haven't even named, Edel McMahon, you know, Aaron King, really, really impressive. No one really stood out as being an issue in terms of a negative today. So, you know, what's the hope for the Six Nations, the remainder of it? Like, what are we targeting here? What's the realistic ambition?
Like, I suppose every year we kind of go into it saying, like, third in the competition is kind of where we expect to be behind England and France. Unfortunately, losing to France in that first game, kind of that still is where our kind of expectations are. I know everybody that watched that France game will be disappointed that we didn't take a bit more from it. But still, even though we're targeting third, the three games we plan on winning are all away from home. And like, Scotland were very strong against Wales in this opening game of the Six Nations. We will take great confidence from how they performed against France. You know, France blew them away towards the end of the second half. Wales, again, away from home. They're a much improved side under Sean, but I still think that's a game we have to win. And like today, it's not just winning games anymore. It's winning games with bonus points, with winning games by scoring tries. You know, like, in the past, we would have beaten Italy and it might have been, you know, a scrape across the line or a couple of points here or there. But to beat them by 42 points, that just shows how much we've improved. And we need to be putting those scores on the likes of Wales. And then Scotland, are a better side than Wales, but I still think we need to be beating Scotland by a good score. And then when we look at the England game, I think we have to take confidence from the French game. We have 2 weeks now to prepare for it. We have to be looking at the two games they had. Like, Italy kept them scoreless second half. Wales were dominant in the first 10 to 15 minutes. So if we can get a full performance, we, you know, get our game plan on point, we don't give away silly kicks like we did against France, our defensive line is strong, you know, who's saying we can't get a point or two, a point there, maybe a bonus point, lose a loss against England. That would be a wonderful result. And I'm not saying we can't win. I'm just saying we have to be realistic against the world's number one team with the depth that they have.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But look, positives today, 42-point win, as we said. First away victory in the Six Nations since 2021. 8 tries, 3 of them from Anna McGann, and defended so well in a very sunny Parma this afternoon. So Italy 12, Ireland 54 in the Guinness Women's Six Nations. Positive afternoon all round. Jackie, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks a million for jumping on today.
Thank you very much.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.